Hello, and welcome to the weekly podcast of the Community Praise Center Alexandria, Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to teach and inspire you while you listen. Delivering this week's message is Community Praise Center's Senior Pastor, Henry Wright.
I was sharing with the elders in the back that on each of these sermons thus far on the Ten Commandments, Satan has fought me mightily. This is the fifth sermon. Two of them have been lost completely on the computer. But the devil gets tricked there because once I write something out, I remember it almost verbatim. So I've been able to put those down. And so seeing what he was up to this week, I really got smart. And so I saved the sermon on three different, And sure enough, when I went to run it off Thursday, it would not run off the thumb drive, but it was on the C drive. And I smiled. You don't laugh at the devil. Don't laugh at him. I just smiled quietly. Thank God for his goodness. Today's sermon, I've been determined to preach the second commandment in one sermon. It is the longest of the commandments, and perhaps Blanca has in it more theological potency than any other commandment. Let's pray. Father, now guide us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or the earth beneath, or the waters underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a, what kind? Jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now finish it with me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, keep my commandments. In this fifth sermon on the commandments, there will be 23 sermons on the commandments. I know there's only 10 commandments, but you got to do your work. In this fifth sermon, to those of you listening for the first time and visiting us live for the first time, we are continuing on this theme that we started last year. The theme is deeper. What is it?
Deeper.
Deeper. We're trying to get beneath the surface of this stuff that we are trying to do as Christians. We want to go deeper. But of the Ten Commandments, I've developed a sub-theme, and the sub-theme is deeper knowledge. Because when I am convinced that the Ten Commandments are a revelation of God, deeper revelation of God, so I've called this reflection on the Ten Commandments deeper knowledge. And we've learned several things. I'll just hit some highlights. First of all, what I want you to remember throughout all the commandments is that the commandments are relational. What are they?
Relational.
This is not a code of conduct per se in terms of just a series of laws. The commandments are about relating to God and relating to man. They're relational. And the oil of all these relationships should be love. What? Love. Love. So the commandments are teaching us how to love. Not some cold code. They're teaching us how to love. They define sin. They define sin. And because sin has separated us from God, then we have difficulty obeying the commandments, don't we? I'll say amen for you. Amen. Your amen was weak and slovenly. It should be a strong amen. We don't keep the commandments as we ought. Amen. We just don't. And because of sin, then we are hindered. But God in His mercy and grace was not willing, Robert, to leave us in that condition. So He sent Christ. Come on, choir. He sent Christ to live, Kayla, God's law in me. And so really my challenge is not keeping the commandments. My challenge is getting out of Christ's way. Come on, somebody. So He can live them in me. That's what He wants to do. I'm now preaching out of Romans 8 without reading it. What the law could not do, and that was confined and hindered through sinful self, God through Christ has conquered, Lord have mercy, sin in me. So anytime I do anything decent, I deserve no credit. God gets all the glory. We also have learned that the Ten Commandments are not the law of Moses. They came from the mind and mouth of God. Remember that sermon? And even so much so that when Moses came down from the mountain the first time, Claudette, with these commandments and saw the people there cavorting naked. They were naked, cavorting naked. He got upset, threw down the law. God said, come back up, bring the tablets, make a new set of tablets, come back up to the top of the mountain. And then God Himself rewrote that law. So Moses never wrote the law. God wrote it. Then said to Moses, now take these tablets, put them inside the ark. You recall that sermon, don't you? And then he put the mercy seat on top of the law. And then, Silver, put his presence on top of the mercy seat that was on top of the law. And I keep saying it. I know you're tired of me saying it, but I love saying it. If you're going to change the commandments, you have to ask God to get up and get over. I just love preaching that. Yes. So the commandments are protected, owned, claimed by God. Then we learned that Christ was the person who actually gave the commandments, because when he was on earth in John, he had declared himself to be the I Am. Remember that? And the God, the person of the Godhead who gave Moses the law, said, tell him, I Am. So it was actually Christ who gave the law. We got that. We learned that. Christ is the one who gave the law. So, and we learned then that the law's function is to be a mirror so we can see ourselves. Well, that first commandment really got to us, didn't it? Because we learned in the first commandment that the God we're putting before God is me. Remember that? Wasn't that disturbing? That got to me. And so the first commandment took on a whole new light. Well, the second commandment is against the idol. The first commandment is against the God who made the idol. So let's look at the second commandment. Because what's going to surprise you in this sermon is who the idol is, what the idol is. You're thinking of some silver and gold and stuff like that that people bow down to? No. We'll see something different today. I want you to consider this idea. The first commandment ever broken by the human race was the first commandment. When Satan tempted Eve, with the thought that she could be as God, Eve fell to the same delusion that Satan expressed in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Remember that? We read that text, all the eyes, I'll be like the Most High God. Eve broke the first commandment. She bought into the fact that she could replace God. She was tempted to be her own God, a God before the only true creating God. Now consider this. Adam broke the second commandment. His sin was that he idolized the gorgeous Eve. That caught Gerald's attention. His eyebrows went up. You got to watch idolizing them sisters, Gerald. We're just having a moment. Me and Gerald are just having a moment here. I love him. Love that young man. Faithful. He's faithful. But we cannot make the mistake Adam made. I'm not done with this. See, for Adam, listen now. We're saying he broke the second commandment, Brother Freeman. The thought of life without her was more important to him than life without God. I told you the thing was going to get deep now. He was willing to worship God, first commandment, but only if worshiping God gave him Eve. Are you following me, Seeley? But it goes deeper. It goes deeper. It wasn't just that he put Eve in front of God and idolized her. What his image was, wasn't just Eve. His image was he didn't like God's possible solution, which was destroy Eve and make another. Now, think with me. Breaking the second commandment involves taking something and idolizing it, but it also involves questioning God's methods in your life. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. See, once you break the first, you're set up for the second. If you replace God with yourself, then you're also announcing your distrust of God's leading and decisions in your life. And your image becomes, Fordham, what you want to do. That's your image. Your graven image becomes what you want to do. Commenting on this, Patriarchs and Prophets says, the second commandment forbids the worship of the true God by images of similitude, and includes that. So the commandment addresses idolizing or admiration of someone or something to a level of importance and devotion that challenges God's rightful place in your life. And the second commandment addresses making something to represent God in order to help you worship God. The first commandment is replacing God with yourself. But the second commandment is dissatisfaction with God the way he is. God's ways, God's methods. And so in the second commandment, we're trying to reshape God, reform God. See, the Jews said in the wilderness, up, make us gods that will lead us. Well, they were not saying they wanted to worship another God, Herb. They were saying, we want God to act the way we want God to act. So let's remake him to fit our midget mentality. Oh, I didn't give you the title of my sermon. Your God is Too Small. That's the title. Yeah, God gave that to me. Your God is Too Small. So, the second commandment is a disease. It's a disease. Every time you question God's leadership in your life, then you're trying to reshape God to fit your small mentality. I don't want to serve a God who says I can't work on the seventh day Sabbath. I would rather have a God who says you don't work on the seventh day Sabbath unless it's absolutely necessary. Just want to reshape him a little bit. I'm not interested in the God that says do not marry outside the church. He didn't say that, did he? Did he just say that in his sermon? He sure did. I'm not interested in the God who says I shouldn't marry outside the church. I'm more interested in the God who says, well, it's okay if they believe in Jesus. I intend to do exactly that. Let me take this God who's leading me through the wilderness of my life, and I want him to lead me the way I want to be led. I'm only interested in a God who agrees with me. I will reform him and reshape him until he becomes my God. My God. Patriarchs and Prophets speaks again. The attempt to represent the Eternal One by material objects would lower man's conception of God. The mind turned away from the infinite perfection of Jehovah would be attracted to the creature rather than to the Creator. You recall when Paul writes about the sins of the antediluvians, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God, listen to this, into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and I'll add, and to man himself. The antediluvians knew God. Now, listen to me. If you really claim to know God, if you really claim to know God, then you've got to serve God as he presents himself to you. Then Patriarchs and Prophets concludes by saying, as man's conceptions of God were lowered, so man became degraded himself. Let me put it in a simple sentence. You are as good a Christian as your God is really God. Did you follow that? Make a midget God, have a midget Christianity. And the problem with some of you sitting here today, you're worshiping short gods. Let's dig into it. Go to Exodus 32. Let's look at how this commandment was first broken by the church. Exodus 32. The scene is the wilderness. They're at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses had been in the mountain for 40 days, way too long for these people. So verse 1 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from out of the mount, the people, now notice what drove them to this idolatry. Notice what drove them, Stacia, to create this image. What drove them was they didn't like what God was doing. God is, what problem with Moses? Deborah, God is taking too long. See, when God is taking too long in your life, you're in danger of creating an idol. The idol of what I want to do. Did you hear what I just said? There's not a person sitting here who's an adult, who's been an adult for any long time, any length of time, who's not experienced those moments when God just won't get going. They don't sit there pious. You know I'm telling the truth. Where is the money? Where is the job? Where is the companion? Where is the car? Where is the healing? Where is it? Now you stand up in that mountain way too long. Come down off of Sinai and do what I want you to do. And if you don't, I'll find me a God who'll lead me the way I want to go. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up! I like the way the Bible talks. Up! That means Aaron was sitting down. Up! Make us gods. For as this man Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what he became of him. Now notice how messed up their minds are. Number one, they're not giving God credit for getting them out of Egypt. It's Moses. See, your God is too small. Because the big God divides Red Seas. The big God can rain plagues down and cause the greatest power of the day to bow to its knees. The big God. But you got your eyes set on. See, too many of us have got our eyes set on what people can do. God can do anything. So Aaron said to them, now notice. Break off the earrings. So withdrawn. Break off the earrings. Take earrings off. Lord, help me to get by this verse here. Don't let him pause. He may get distracted. I'm just going to read the phrase one more time. Take earrings off. Yeah! Which in the ears of your wives, of your sons. And see, men think that wearing earrings is something new. Take earrings out of your wives, your sons. I'm trying to get by this verse, Richard, but this thing, it keeps magnetizing me. I want to pause and change my subject, but the subject is your God's too small. Keep on reading, Henry, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. Lord, help me. He received them at their hand, verse 4, and makes this graven image. Now, think about it. The worship of God, Crosby, that was just in their ears. No sense. They just took the gold out of their ears. And of course, Aaron tells this big fat lie when Moses comes down. Where'd the calf come from? Aaron said, I threw the gold in the fire. It came out of calf. You know, when you sin it, you ain't got no sense at all. None whatsoever. But we won't pause on that. So here they are, molten calf. And then look at the insult in verse 4. How can you read this stuff and be calm? These be the gods, O Israel, that brought us out of Egypt. Now, there's so much going on in this chapter. That's why I thought I couldn't preach it in one sermon. They reach back to the days of Egypt. God becomes gods. And the molten calf is the representation of the gods that led them from Egypt. There's a lot going on here. Now, number one, the second commandment is broken when we are dissatisfied with how God presents himself to us. You know, God is an interesting person. He's so vast and large and mentally superior, you know, you just can't really grab a hold of how God thinks. And so God doesn't always come into your life the way you would like. He doesn't do. See, God doesn't do. If I could just get him to do what I want, if he could just see my problem and recognize that what I'm asking is exactly what I need. Well, you laughing, but the fact is, people think like this. I've had people say to me, no, Pastor, if God could just see what I'm going through, and I'm thinking to myself, he sees everything. Not only does he see what you're going through, he sees what you've been through and see what you're going to go through. That's why he ain't going to do what you're praying. But now I'm going to really get to you. The first point is, they announced their dissatisfaction with God as to how God presented himself to them. Did you understand that sentence? Well, God has presented himself to us as Jesus. So when you are dissatisfied with how God has presented himself to you, you're announcing your dissatisfaction with Jesus. See, there's a reason why. There's a reason why, folk, God came down through Christ. God was not interested in hearing you say he doesn't understand. See, the Jesus plan killed your excuse. Hungry, he's been hungry. Ain't got no money, he had no money. You ain't got no house, he didn't have no house. You ain't got no spouse, he had no spouse. He got you. Any way you turn, he's got you. He's presenting himself to you as Christ, so that Christ is his representation. He's saying, this is who I really am. Loving, kind, caring, sacrificial, humble, subdued, and willing to follow wherever the Father leads. Even to the cross. Get me out, but not my will, thy will be done. Number two, the second commandment is broken when we are dissatisfied with the way God has led us. Look at the history behind chapter 32. They have only been traveling 3 months when they arrive at Sinai, but already they have consistently complained about the way God has led them. Exodus 14, 11, and 12, there's resistance at the Red Sea. What are we doing here at the Red Sea, Moses? Now, God led them there. But now, let me take you deeper. Let me take you deeper. How did they get to the Red Sea? If you look at a map, the easiest way from Egypt to Palestine is to go straight north. The Red Sea, Sealy, is south. See, God often takes you south to go north. Are you listening to me? Baker, the Lord often seems to be mixed up on his map. He takes them south. If they had gone straight north, they'd have been in the promised land in a week. Look at your map. Now, he tells them in Exodus 13, he tells them why. Exodus 13, 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them out not through the way of the land of the Philistines. So they'd gone north, they had run into the Philistines, so they were not ready to fight them. You recall that, don't you? So he takes them. See, when God takes you south to go north, it's because he sees something you can't handle. Come on, somebody stay awake. If God had taken them the easiest way, it would have been the hardest way. What looked like the best way was the worst way because they weren't ready for the best way. They wind up in the Red Sea. Now they're really complaining. Would to God we were back in Egypt. Moses said to Moses, God says to Moses, just tell them to relax. Take your stick. One of the things I like about God is he takes you the wrong way to get you the right way so you can see that he can do anything no matter which way you go. Yes. So the thing they would have never prayed for, they might have had the courage, Silver, to pray. If they run to the Philistines, they would have the courage to pray, Lord, help us defeat these Philistines. That's a fairly natural prayer. Nobody was by the Red Sea praying for it to open. There was no prayer. See, let's all bow down together here, y'all, at the edge of the sea and pray that God will open the waters. God did what they didn't have the courage to pray for. God wants to show off in your life and do the stuff that you never thought he could do. He wants to show you that the impossible is normal. So the lady with cancer that no doctor can identify, they couldn't identify Sylvia's cancer. They didn't know what it was. Took her up there to John Hopkins that only found one doctor, and he was ignorant, wasn't he, Sylvia, about the cancer. So now there's no normal way to heal her because the doctors don't know the cancer. So God said, now I got Sylvia up against the Red Sea. I'll take her through it in a way that nobody would pray. Verse 18, but God led the people about, led them about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That is, they're trapped. Sometimes God harnesses you, traps you. Now know what's going on here. Watch it, Dion Prime. They've been complaining, chapter 14. Complaining, chapter 15. Complaining, chapter 16. Complaining, chapter 17. All of it resistance to God's way of leading. And here's the thing. Here's what's bothering God. By the time he gets to chapter 32, he's already shown them what he can do. They've been drinking water out of rocks, bread from heaven, and walking through seas on dry land. Up, make us gods. When will you learn? Why do you keep trying to reshape the God who can do anything for you? Accept God as he is. He's not a midget. He's not an extension of your small mentality. He's the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And stop praying small midget prayers to a tall giant God. Let God be God in your life the way only God can be. Stop limiting God with your fears and faithlessness. Let God show off in your soul. So by the time they get to Exodus 30, by the time they arrive at Exodus 32, they are basically through with the way God has led them. Now, keep in mind, we preached that last year, but let me review it for a few minutes. I cannot get this church. I cannot get this church to be where we need to be until you accept the reality that God delivers you out of Egypt into the wilderness. You got to get that. Because before we get to glory, we're going through the time of trouble. He delivers you into the wilderness so it can show off in your life. So he can do the stuff you don't have courage to pray for. Did he not say, talking about God's people, in the last days your bread and water shall be sure in the wilderness? So keep a cup for the water and a knife to spread some butter. Come on, somebody, because God has declared, I will do it. You break the second commandment when you question that God can do it. And you make the idol your molten image out of the fire of your fear. Is your idea that your way is better? That's a false God. Your way ain't never been better. It never will be better. And your way has gotten you in more trouble than you'll ever be able to get out of. Your God. It's too small. So the Israelites didn't want a different God. Let me say it again. They didn't want a different God. They wanted a God that acted the way they wanted. Here's what I wrote in my notes. They wanted a God that they made to do something, not a God who made them do something. It's pretty good, wasn't it? It's in my notes. Yeah. Many people are more than ready to bow down to a God that they can make do what they want. They do not desire a big God whose all-knowing allows them to ignore our wants and designs and only do what is best because he is all-knowing. Many want a small God who cannot see beyond today, just like us. We want a God. See, think about it. See, if you make a God like you, think about what kind of God that is. See, if your God's like you, then your God's going to get tired, lose his temper. See, your God's too small. You sleep, so your God's going to sleep, take naps. Come on, y'all. Lie, cheat, steal. If you study the pantheon of the Greek gods, each god was actually an idol to their weakness. They had the god of liquor, remember that? They had the god of sex. They had the god of this, that, and the other. That's why Ellen White says, I'll read it again. As man's conception of God was Lord, man became degraded. The worship of idols is the worship of human frailty and ego. Idol worship is the ancient form of modern-day humanism. The Israelites said, we want to make the journey to the promised land, but we want gods out of our own making to guide us on the journey. They would have been more honest if they had said, we want to find our own way to the promised land. Because God's way is too challenging. Because his ways may take me a direction I don't want to go. Go back to the commandment. Exodus 20. There's a part of this commandment that often gets misinterpreted. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a what kind of God? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, this is often preached as teaching generational sins. This text is not dealing with generational sins. The subject of the commandment is images. And what God is saying is that if my people continue to challenge my way of leading them, they will produce children that have the same problem. It's not talking about you being sexual and your child's going to be sexual, you being a drunk child. That is not the subject of the text. The statement is a part of a commandment about idols and images. And what God is saying is that a church, listen to me, CPC, a church that shows by its example to its young people that we don't trust the leading of God, then you will produce young people who don't trust the leading of God. That's the issue here. And we saw it, Damon, come true. Because if you study the Israelites after they got to the promised land, generation after generation questioned, see me, the leading of God. Did they not? It was a problem. They could not escape it. God says, I'll visit that. I need a generation to stand up and say, God's way is the only way. So he raised up children who questioned the leading of God. But God in his grace and his mercy says, but I'll show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In other words, Carla, if you will be a mother who says to the young people in your home, God does not allow anything that's not best. God's way is the only way. Say to your daughter and son, even if things don't seem to be going right, God never leaves us. Then God says, I'll show mercy. I'll come and cloak your children with my loving grace. your children will begin to talk faith, trust in God. When you say to little Gabby, even though Grandmommy is wrestling with cancer, but Gabrielle, we serve a good God who's going to see Grandmommy through and take her to the kingdom. And then you hear that little girl pray prayers of faith and trust in God. Because, Frank, you've installed in her heart that the God we serve is a big God, not a small God. I hear that old man in my life whom I adore, my dad, 94 going on 95. And I'm talking to him last week about his health situations. And dad says to me, now, son, remember what I told you when you was a boy? God can take care of us. Son, I'm going to be just fine. It's the old man talking to a 71-year-old boy. Isn't that something? And he still calls me boy. Yeah, boy, everything's going to be just fine. He planted that thing in me, Fordham. Your uncle, my father, he taught me from an early boy going up. See, that's the man who prayed one day for food in our house, had us all on our knees. We had no food. And while the old man's praying, we hear a car drive up and feet run to the porch and then go back to the car. And we get done praying, Lord help me. And there's food all over the porch. That's the old man saying to me, God says, I'll show mercy, even though your son has made some mistakes, because you implanted in him trust in God. I'll show mercy to your son, and he'll grow up and teach his sons trust in God. I'll show mercy. I'll wipe out fear and doubt and trepidation. I'll give you a generation of children that can live through the last days and say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven images or any likeness of anything in the heavens, the earth, or that's below. Don't bow down yourself to them nor serve them, because I'm a God who gets upset. Visiting the iniquity of distrust that you've passed on to the third and fourth generation. But if you get yourself straight and start talking faith and trust, I'll show mercy to your kids. Mercy to your grandkids. The first commandment and the second commandment Reach to the roots of sin, worship of self, and distrust of God's leadership. Learning to obey both of those two puts you in a position to observe and trust in the last eight. God bless you. Jesus, do with all things.
must do with all things well.
That's good, Dion. And just hold now those other verses. Did you learn anything today? That second commandment, Claude, is something else. In the first, I replaced God with myself. Then the second, then I just start distrusting God's leadership. Because now I'm the God. You see it? These fine young people sitting on the front row, I think they got the message. Bless you. God bless you. So now look at yourself. Look at yourself. Just think for a moment. Is there a molten calf in your life made up of your ideas, your plans? Be good to confess it. I've come to believe, Charles, with all my heart, that the most difficult thing for me to learn has been absolute trust and confidence in God. I'm admitting that as a pastor. I'm always, surely, sometimes still trying to push him. Because God, now, don't take this, Thorpe, as blasphemy. Because God sometimes seems untrustworthy. If you're being honest with yourself, you know why I said that. You've prayed, you've agonized, and your prayer seems to make sense to you. And he ain't doing nothing you're praying. Have you been there? Come on, y'all. He's not doing anything. He's not doing anything you're praying. He's not doing anything you're praying. So why am I praying? I'll just go on and do what I want to do. In that moment, I declare, up, make us gods who will lead me. Notice, they didn't ask the God to lead them back to Egypt. They wanted the God, Donald, to lead them to the promised land. They wanted to go to heaven their way. But the only God that can get you through that wilderness is the one true God. He knows where the water is. He's got it hidden in rocks. He knows where the bread is. He's got it baking up in heaven. You can't get through the wilderness following your own plans. The idol of your own plans will mess you up. So let's just pause now and bow our heads and talk to God about the idol. Go ahead, Dee. Give me that next verse. You're praying now. You're praying. Some crying as he leads you.
Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread.
Amen. Amen.
Though my weary steps may falter and my soul the rock before me, low a spring of joy.
Hallelujah.
I see gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy. I see.
We need to be submissive now to the Lord. Oh, I love that verse you just sang. We need to be submissive. He gives us grace. to get to the gushing rock. Thirsty, dried up, unable to see a way through. That's why he's got you bumped up against the Red Sea, so that you can see his way through, not yours. We're trying to become keepers of the second commandment. That's what the pastor's preaching about. That challenging second commandment that has me creating an idol of my own way. You're dealing with it in your prayer. You're being honest with God now. I move to my appeal. It's much like last Sabbath. You've been wanting to join this church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church here at CPC, and prepare for baptism. You've been thinking about it. Or along the way, you have built so many idols. You have a pantheon in your heart of self-worship. Your gods are all too small, and you need to make a fresh start. Coming down to join.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Community Praise Center Alexandria, Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please visit us at www.cpcsda.org and use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and look forward to you joining us again next week. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.